This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Kick off hour number two of the program. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw for the weekend. Only 100 calories. Just 1 gram of sugar. 5% alcohol by volume. It's delicious. White Claw Hard Seltzer, proud sponsor of the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio.
I'd bet it, but I can't find it, you know, on a site that will allow you to do such things. Fine. Dave, didn't you say a lot of these FCS games will come out like late today, early tomorrow on
Nate,
the big sites?
Nate said that, but that is true.
Okay. Maybe it was you that verified. You doubled down.
They usually try to get them out 24 hours beforehand. So, I mean, maybe even early this afternoon you might start to see it since this is a nooner.
I just notice on Saturday morning, that's when I see a lot of the FCS lines. But maybe they, you know, maybe they've come out the day before. I don't know. That's on FanDuel. We'll see.
All right, what do you want to see tomorrow?
Well, I would like to.
I sent out the tweet. Let's give it one more segment so people can see it and reply. I said, okay, tomorrow, what's the one thing? And I'm hoping people will send in more than one. I should have said, what are some things? I was this close to stealing Russell's Friday favorite segment, the five things I want to see. But he's not even going to be watching the game tomorrow, probably. So five things he wants to see on the replay, read about in the box score. So let's give that one more segment, old Dave, just to let the answers come in. It'll give us a little bit more content. Maybe somebody out there has a unique perspective, something nice and clever. A cover would be nice. Just throwing that one out there first, you know, just a cover. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you win 42-0, I'd take it. And if you win 60-20 or 65-20, whatever, I'd take that too. It'd be awesome.
I mean, if you want to wait, if you don't have anything, I could run through some headlines real quick.
No.
Like Purdue, they're not letting Notre Dame's not letting them take their drum to the facility.
Why? What's wrong with a drum?
You know that?
Yeah. Drum. The big drum.
First time since like 1979.
I saw that on the ticker and I was like, why? What's the problem?
The Notre Dame Stadium only has one entrance where it would fit through, and they're like, nope, that's where our band's coming from, so we won't let Purdue bring it through there.
They can't like bring it through super early and just like get it set up in the wherever they're going to be or something?
Their communications team told Purdue, you can't bring it. You won't be able to get it in. Sad. Adam Carly Lloyd, five goals last night.
Heck yeah.
That's your girl.
Five?
Five goals, yep.
That is impressive.
And they did announce that we will have a Hard Knocks in season last night. Starting, I believe it's in early November. It'll be the Indianapolis Colts. So there's that.
Wait, what did you say? In season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they made the announcement last night during the game.
An in season.
When is this?
Hard Knocks.
For this year?
Mm-hmm.
So have they already started?
No, that's why I said early November or late October.
No, they already started filming.
I don't think so.
All right.
Because it's Hard Knocks. I mean, the whole thing's the setup, like, they filmed
that
the week.
That's just weird, right? I mean, it's not a bad idea. I just don't know why you wouldn't start with the beginning of the season.
I guess they wanted to let the Cowboys one lay out a little bit. Or give it some time.
It's so weird, too, because the Cowboys, right, the brand, the star, but they might not be that good of a football team. And then you're going to the Colts, who may be halfway decent, but really just don't have any star power. You know what I mean? Like the brand is kind of thanks to Jim Irsay.
Russell Wilson's best friend passed away of cancer. That's sad.
That is sad. I don't know why you.
I'm just looking at the headlines.
Okay, save those. I've got something I wanted to get to yesterday. Goodness gracious, Dave. Just word vomit from you. Nate, tomorrow will be the first time we see Byron Young on the field in a Tennessee uniform. After his 2-game suspension for getting caught up in a pyramid scheme of a prep school.
Sad.
Very sad. I saw Bear saying, well, he did it. That's pretty stupid. I don't know if it was technically his fault. He was a young man at the time. Mm. A lot of expectations for Byron Young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It depends on who you ask, I guess. But some people are saying, oh, he's going to be the difference maker, right? He's going to be – he was the best guy in speed. I mean, Heupel's, they've sung his praises. They said he's a guy who's, you know, good size, great athleticism, speed rusher type guy. Guy can help you out. I don't know how good he's going to be. I hope he's great. I'm worried we're doing the thing where we overhype the guys we haven't seen because I'm seeing already all over the field. Oh, well, Harrison Bailey's got to be the best on the deep ball and the best one that because we haven't seen him. So you can just say that and it – whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, why isn't D. Beckwith getting carries? He's got 6'4", 235. He'd probably be the best. If you're not seeing him, it's probably because the coaches don't think they're the best or second best or third best or fourth best at this point. So Byron Young's a little bit different, right? Because it's not like he's been buried on the depth chart. Well, why haven't we seen him? He's been suspended, so he comes back tomorrow. Again, I hope he's great because Tennessee really needs pass rush, specifically in one scenario. When we're rushing four.
Yeah.
Went back and watched the Pitt game. Said it yesterday. Said it all week. I thought Tim Banks called a really good game. Still have questions on the substitutions, especially at linebacker and defensive line. Defensive line makes a little bit more sense because those guys are in head-on collisions, play after play after play after play after play. Linebackers, it didn't make a lot of sense. I thought really both groups made some mistakes, but especially Beasley and Page in the second half. Against Pitt, Nate, the Panthers went to an empty set 12 times. So they spread Tennessee out, and Tennessee elected to only rush four, because obviously if you blitz in that situation, you're leaving a big chunk of the field wide open. You've got five guys out there running routes. It gets a little hairy, especially with a good QB like Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
Against a four-man rush, Pickett was 10 of 12 for 111 yards and one touchdown. So of the 10 completions, one was a touchdown. Six others were first downs.
Wow.
Now, against the rush, Tennessee actually did pretty good. 43 rushes for Pitt, 2.5 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. Not bad. You can live with that against just about any team on your schedule, unless they're a team that goes for it every time on fourth down, because obviously 2.5 times 4 is 10. It's first down every time.
Houston, how many yards did you say he had on those 10 completions?
111.
He was averaging over 10 yards an attempt.
Quick math. Very good. Now, one of the reasons, obviously, 5 to block 4, pretty easy for Pitt. Their offensive line, who was it that called in and said, someone said, some Pitt fan said, our offensive line is our weakness?
I heard that, but I don't remember who said
it. I mean, you've seen this play out before. Yeah. Some teams are pretty good against the run because they're big and they can move kind of side to side, but they can't get up the field and get after the quarterback. And in fairness, Kenny Pickett's a pretty damn good athlete for
– Yeah.
You know, you watch him in warm-ups, and you don't think that's a guy that's going to take off and scramble around, but he moved the pocket pretty well, hit some big plays. Is Byron Young the type of player that in those pass rush situations – where maybe you can only send four, or even if it's a third and long and you're going to blitz, right? Like maybe a team doesn't go empty, but is he a guy who can get around, make a move, get a sack, is he also a guy who, if a guy like Anthony Richardson breaks contain, because how many times is a defensive end kind of in position but just doesn't have the speed to hawk him down or get the angle, is he one of those elite speed rushers that can turn maybe what would be a 25, 30, hell, 70-yard run with Richardson, can he still trip him up and get him behind the line of scrimmage?
Well, the main problem the ends have had is getting caught trying to push inside. And as T. Fair said on the drive earlier, that a lot of you've got to always keep your outside arm free as a defensive end.
I did notice, especially against Pitt, you know, the ball would be snapped, especially in the empty stuff, and we just kind of run straight. There was no fanning. You weren't trying to, you know, circle in Pickett. You just kind of had a line trying to push back, and he could go either way and escape with relative ease. There was no contain whatsoever because they were trying to rush inside and not having much success in the process. But so is Byron Young one of those guys who, because Tyler Barron, I think, is really good, but he's not a guy who's going to just beat you all the way around the long end. He's going to kind of double move you, go inside. He's good against the run, but is Byron Young going to be the speedster? We better hope so, because other than that, some teams are going to give you a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble.
Yeah, I hope that the ends can kind of focus on that technique and, you know, not make that mistake. And then you also add a whole new player in Byron Young that might, you know, hopefully is your best rusher, pass rush guy. And between both those things, it makes that aspect of your defense a lot better.
Yeah, as a defensive end, if you're not going to get to the quarterback, you can still do things to make it a little bit more difficult for him to extend a play.
Well, and with a guy like Pickett too, like, you have to keep him bottled in there.
Yes,
like,
you have to.
Once he got out and started running to throw on the outside and had all day, it just put too much stress.
Yeah, he put a lot, depending on the coverage, if the guy was back up in zone, you could tell he wanted to go after Pickett. And on, or not even necessarily Pickett, but on the trick play, for example, you know, they flip it out to the side and boom, here comes the guy in zone. I'm going to go get, and then the trick play sets up. Guy runs all the way across the field. He's wide open. I mean, I guess in those situations, you want the quarterback to run so he doesn't, you know, wait till he gets to or across the line of scrimmage before you go. That way you get a hit on the quarterback and you don't give up the big play. But it was frustrating to see it happen over and over and over. Maybe, just maybe, Byron Young gives you the speed rush on one side, and I'll be interested to see this, because if you remember, on the original depth chart and even to today, they're bracketed as co-starters on one side. I'm hoping that now on third down, and especially pass rush situations on third down, maybe we can have Barron and Byron on the field at the same time. I think that would be your best bet for a pass rush with four down linemen. After looking at the film, it seems like it's got to be Tyler Barron getting pressure, or you're sending a blitz with Theo, Banks. Mitchell hasn't gotten there yet, but he's been close. We're going to have to mix it up. Unless Byron Young proves that he's, you know, Derek Barnett reincarnate. We'll have to just wait and see. But I'm excited about it.
Well, I want to know what the fans are saying they want to see coming back this hour. Also, a little more news about who's been taking reps in practice at quarterback and how that could shape out.
Did Josh step in there to show him how it's done?
I don't know. It's a good question. I wonder how much he does that. You know, some guys love doing that. Harbaugh, you know.
Oh, yeah. He has to show them how it's done.
Yeah.
He's a tool bag.
Yep.
Good morning. Good morning, Travis Mendel.
This segment of the program brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online and make your appointment at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. It's Drs. Malone and Costa for all your dental needs right here in Knoxville, Cedar Bluff area. Easy to get to, and they do great work. We've had listeners even reach out, say they tried Knoxville Smiles based on our recommendation and have been 100% satisfied with the customer service and care at Knoxville Smiles. Make your appointment at KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
I'm on it.
So apparently the scoop is Hooker's taking almost all the first team reps this week. Oh, Milton wow. did.
Really?
Yeah, Milton.
He's injured.
Didn't really come back.
You said he got benched.
I was being sarcastic.
No, you shut up. Just own it, man.
What? Milton did go through practice on Wednesday.
A little column A, a little column B.
So
have a take, you coward. But still didn't get the first team reps?
Well, I don't know. It just said mostly. So did is it too early to say Milton's injury prone?
What are you doing?
Well, I mean, you know, he's a big guy, takes a lot of hits.
I still don't even really know what the injury is, so
it's his second one in a year. Thumb injury.
Yeah, I'm aware. But it'd be, I don't know. Like, it's not like he rolls his ankle every play
Okay.
No, yeah, I'm not really.
One more.
You knew he knew that.
Yeah. His thumb, remember? The one you broke down for an entire day? Come on, Hickman.
You did use that as the excuse.
I was about to say, yeah, that's why he's not good.
Better passer all season.
In fairness, he is better on the intermediate stuff. It's the deep ball. Maybe I told you what it
maybe
was.
Maybe he needs a little thumb jamming to
buddy,
get that
rookie
deep
of
ball.
The year. They had the thumb surgery, and now he's just...
Oh, his thumb's too strong. Just spinning out of there.
I thought it was an elbow.
It is in the movie.
God.
Dumbass.
I haven't seen it in forever. That movie was made before I was born, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's the elbow.
Just...
But we're saying it's thumb. It's a miracle thumb. It's,
you know who should
like
give
a green thumb.
You know who should call Joe? You know who should give Joe a call?
Who's that?
Tony Vitello.
I bet he can.
He can hum that tighter.
I mean, the strike zone's actually smaller than the typical windows that we're having to throw to. So in football
maybe
games.
He needs glasses.
He hasn't
maybe
been
this
bad
is a major
on the intermediate
situation.
Stuff.
Maybe his depth perception's off. He's like, man. He's like, man. Cedric Tillman is way down there. I better throw this.
Don't need to get him LASIK like Jameis.
Yeah, maybe that's the key. What do people want to see, Houston? What do people want to see?
Points.
Are we
points?
Nice. Okay, let me.
I teased it last segment. Yes,
I didn't hear it.
Davey.
What?
Never mind. You don't listen to the show anyway. I said we'll talk a little bit about the who took quarterback reps, but before that, I even said. We'll get into what.
Well,
people
stay on
see.
The quarterback reps. What do you want to see from?
I want to see all three of them play.
Okay. In what order, bub?
I don't care. Just play them all. Let's
Coward.
See them. Get them some reps. You might need all three by the end of the season anyway. Milton's banged up. He's obviously more banged up than we thought if he wasn't practicing early in the week. So. You better get them all ready to play no matter what the order is.
There goes Davey's benched theory.
You might need to play the third guy at some point, whoever that is.
All right, here's what the people want to see. Not going to lie, this has not been nearly as well-funded, if you will, as the
sad
red flags and positives. But it is 8:30. People are on their way to work. Maybe by 9, we'll get the the big timers rolling in. Ray! Says a good clean game and some deep shots completed to give us some confidence in quarterback and receiver play. Jack, no injuries, lots of backups, getting meaningful playing time. I agree with the meaningful. If they bring in backups and just run the ball, let them run the offense. Let them run the defense. Call some difficult stuff. Can they handle it? Oh, we called this blitz. They ran this, and Tech got 10 yards in the fourth quarter. I'm okay with that. But that way you can coach them instead of just saying, well, we know they can run this, let them run it. No, put a little pressure on them. Let the guys go out there and play. Jack also said, please cut down on the penalties, and can the receivers not drop passes? That'd be good. Catching passes. Obviously, all the focus this week has been on quarterbacks and Milton, which is fine. Any word on Jalen Hyatt at all? Has there been word one?
Nope. I'm telling you, man, this staff is tight.
Nary a word here.
They are. I can tell this staff is Danny White.
Danny got his guy.
Yeah, I mean, they don't say anything.
Okay.
I mean, Tyon Evans practiced.
I will say this.
But we haven't been told if he's going to, play or anything.
Would you play him? What about Jabari? Any word on him?
Nope.
Game time decision?
Nope. Nothing.
against a team like Tech, people are so mad about the injury stuff. The NFL has a rule. In college, can they get in trouble if they say too much, technically?
What? About injuries?
Yeah.
No.
HIPAA, like any of that?
No.
You're sure?
Well, I mean,
just asking. I don't know.
There's not any like HIPAA on their football injury stuff. I mean, they say that all the time.
Mm-hmm. I was just asking.
I mean, if they have like a personal, like a something separate from the game or something, I don't know how that works. But I mean, you have coaches all the time that used to give more injury info out. Now they just kind of hide behind as much as they can.
All right. Just checking. So what do you want to see tomorrow?
I saw somebody the other day, and I don't know, say like HIPAA only applies to like the medical professional, not like the, like.
But I'm saying
if I'm a coach and I watch a guy twist his ankle and he comes off the and he's like, man, my ankle hurts, and then I tell somebody, yeah, he hurt his ankle. Like I haven't violated HIPAA.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I watched him hurt it. Like I'm not bound by the medical people.
I understand. I guess what I'm saying is
walls.
If you're going to, like, let's say a guy tears his ACL. Some guys, it's like, yeah, we have to report that. But is it not possible that some kid might say, I don't want it public because, I don't know, I don't want to ruin my chances of, like, I don't know. Again, whatever. Maybe he talked to the team and said, hey, how do you guys want me to handle injuries? And they said, don't tell anybody. And if that's, I don't know. I'm just saying. If you knew what changes. Just the way you feel about the game, is that
Which
important?
Player are you talking about? Are you just
anybody?
Globally?
Anybody? Yeah, globally. I mean, I want to know, but if I don't know who the starter is going to be, and I just have to wait till the start of the game, it doesn't really bother me that much. Now, if you're putting money on the game, I get it. If you want to put money on the game, I wouldn't bet on your team. That's just kind of a rule. Bet against your team.
So in 2019, the NCAA declined to implement like a standard.
The questionable, yeah, probably all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Every coach is different.
I guess it's just up to the coach, up to the team.
Okay.
In hockey, they really just never fully disclose. They're just like, yeah, it's a lower body issue.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just thought I'd ask. So what do you want to see?
I just want to see him play a clean football game. You know, like
what does that mean to you? Because some people say clean game, no injuries. Some people say clean game, no penalties.
No mental I'll say few mental mistakes. That pre-snap penalties is top of the list in that department.
Fewer eye violations.
You know, make the plays that are there. So like catch the football when it's there. When you have a receiver wide open, you know, make an accurate throw. You know, we don't need them to make wow plays this week. Just play clean football. Now, when I say that, I don't mean anything about injuries. Obviously, that's top of the list.
Yeah, that's one of those things that kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to say that. You know, if there's a penalty because somebody's trying to make an aggressive play and they just can't quite get there, or I don't know, if a guy's trying to sack the quarterback and he accidentally grabs his face mask, you know, not as big a deal
as
our offensive line jumping, you know, false starting two or three times. That would drive me nuts. You know, getting the work on the tempo. I mean, like, let's make sure that we're playing faster than anybody, that we're punching the defense in the mouth.
Well, I will say this, if it's Hooker and Milton, you know, has been out a little bit and Hooker got more time with the reps this week, I hope he does look faster. Right? I mean, for a variety of reasons. A, he was here in the spring and Joe wasn't. So he should have been a little bit further along with that. I realize his reps were also cut back in the summer, but I don't know why the offense would run so much slower with Hooker. Should Hooker not have more plays that he knows, like more understanding?
I could be wrong, but I thought like first and second down it was fine, but the reason the tempo slowed so much was because every third down he's waiting to see what the audible's going to be.
From the defense, you mean?
No. Like, I mean, looking over to the sideline for the call.
Basically, they were in whatever tempo they have where on third down they're not going to go fast.
Third down, they're check with me type stuff.
Yeah, they want to make sure they get the right play.
That's fine.
And I feel like since he is somewhat turnover prone, I think he tries to slow it down to where he doesn't want to make that mistake, make sure he's reading the defense properly. I think that could be part of it.
Didn't really work out. unfortunately. I mean, before Milton got hurt, other than the overthrows, like, you were still moving the ball. I get it that Hooker came in when he did, and you were still in the game, so everyone's like, oh, Hooker kept us in the game. You were – what was the score when Milton went out?
The score
were we not Milton were we out. Not up when he went out?
Was it 13-7? Or no?
I mean, granted, the first touchdown, I don't give too much credit to Milton.
14-13, wasn't it?
I think, yeah.
So we, I think we were
they
down
just,
one. They
just
scored
okay. to get the lead, and then we turned it over again.
Yeah. And I get the overthrows were bad, but you were still moving the ball. He had had a really long run. I saw somebody complaining that he didn't run as – someone said, oh, he was looking at the Jumbotron. Yeah. And first of all, you do that so you know when someone's behind you
right.
so you can protect the ball a little bit better. A lot of players do that if they're running towards – a Jumbotron. I don't know that that slows you down that much. I didn't have a problem with his run at all. What I had a big problem with, to your point, Nate, was Cade Mays clapping, causing a false start, and then hitting a guy way late, backing us up another 15, then the offensive PI, to where we had third and goal from the 36. That's right. What I have problems with. Not Milton coming up a yard short no. on a 50-something yard run. Sorry.
Again, that's what I mean by clean football. That was dirty football.
Yeah.
That was dirty football right there.
Well, actually, it was... It was dirty as in messy and dirty as in, ooh, dirty, mean. Cross the line. Yeah, it was a cheap shot. Cheap shot. Which, Cade Mays, he's got a little bit of that in him. Oh, Mississippi leg hound. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't basically, when Milton was in the game, you got a free touchdown, you were still losing. And actually losing worse than 14-13 because he's the one that fumbled to set them up for a minus 2-yard drive that got a field goal. I mean, the defense saved him there.
Milton?
So really...
That was not Milton's fault, but he fumbled, but good God, Ollie Lane. That was one you want to erase forever from everyone's memory. That was bad.
So kind of the Milton plus minus is like you're down 17-6.
What? What do you mean? What was the score?
It was 17-13, but we got the free touchdown off the punt block.
Well, we don't know if he might have scored on that drive, too.
That's
we were
point.
Getting the ball.
That's
you know what I'm point. Saying? It wasn't an interception on first down.
All right.
It was at least we were getting the ball back. But I'm with you.
Yeah, and they were pinned back. So, yeah, we might have, you know, I don't know. Could have got a field goal. Could have got a touchdown.
Because our special teams were so money.
So good. When we come back, we had a guy that was pretty highly touted that hasn't played at all yet. And
aren't there a couple?
Yeah. We'll mention that on the flip side. Stick with us. More 3 and out next.
Don't. Let's make our escape. Come on, let's go there. Let's just can we stay? Can you take me higher? To a place where I'm at sea. This segment of the program brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
It's week two of the NFL, and FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds to pick the Chiefs or Ravens to win the biggest game this Sunday. $150, how much you can win on a $5 bet.
Wow.
Just pick your winner. And as we mentioned, they got tons of stuff rolling for existing users as well. You can do the same game parlay with a $10 refund if you don't win that. And obviously, you can still do the first-time bet if you're a brand-new user, up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win that one. Just head on over to FanDuel if you're already on there. Get your picks in. Make sure you take advantage of the free money that they're passing out. And if you're new, if you still haven't signed up, use promo code 3OUT when you sign up. We love FanDuel. You will as well. Use promo code 3OUT when you sign up on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, $10 first deposit required, must wager in designated offer market, max bonus $150, restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. So we waited and we waited and we waited for the 24/7 sports composite, or I guess it's not composite, but the team talent rankings. Team talent composite rankings. And they finally came out. And when you sort those, and when you do this with any team, you're gonna have some guys that were highly rated when they came out of high school that are near the top of the list when it's sorted by stars, but then guys that maybe they're not contributing as much as you would like. You're gonna have that on every team. However, when you're in Tennessee's boat, where guys have been underdeveloped and you've had to fire a coach for that and for cheating, and they have a first-year coach, A, you're going to have more of that on the one hand, but B, you hope that some of the guys that might have had a lot of talent coming out of high school that hadn't really produced that much might get a jump start with the new coach. And there's been maybe a little bit of that. I mean, Darnell Wright, they stuck a walk-on in front of him and said, you're not the starter right now. And through the course of fall camp, he became the starter. So I'm assuming that he's playing better football than he was at the beginning, coming out of spring practice. Darnell Wright, your highest-rated player on this entire football team. He's starting at left tackle. So you at least have him in a marquee position. He's your most talented player. Aubrey Solomon is second. Aubrey Solomon hasn't played a snap in two games. He didn't play a snap in mop-up duty against Bowling Green if he's bad. And he didn't play a snap in a game that was decided by one score. Like, what in the world? This is where I do think it would be beneficial if he's banged up for Josh Heupel to say, yeah, and you know, like when he gives the injury update and you know, Aubrey Solomon's a little banged up. That's why he hasn't, like, or is he just, it sounds like he's just in the doghouse. Is he being punished? Like, it seems like even if you're not that good, you still play some against Bowling Green at least, right? Like, what the hell is going on?
I mean,
on
yeah,
here?
Yeah, man. I mean,
they talk about how thin they are. We only got 71 scholarship players. Okay. And you have a 5-star defensive lineman that doesn't even play a snap. That's just, like, something's weird there. Something is wrong there. I don't know if it's he's in trouble, if they've kind of made a deal with all the players that if you don't go, you know, if you don't give us 100%, you don't get to play, and he hasn't, so he's not playing. Is he banged up? I mean, no one has said he's banged up.
No.
This is another issue with the media not getting to see practice at all once the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if for some reason he got banged up in one of the last practices they did get to see, and then he's been banged up ever since, no one knows. No one gets to even see the stretching and the individual drills. Because when they stretch and do individual drills, the media can at least go, hey, this guy was standing over to working over to the side, or he had a brace on, or whatever.
I have a guess.
Has not played a snap.
I have a guess.
What's your guess?
Doghouse. Doghouse. I mean, wasn't he a guy that was debating sitting out last year for COVID? And I'm not going to fault him for that.
I didn't think he was. I thought those were a couple of the other guys, but I mean, he might have been in there. We had a problem on the defensive line.
No, he was the one who was at practice but scared to practice because he didn't want to get COVID, but he didn't want to go.
That was Middleton.
No, it was. It might have been both.
Maybe it was both.
Solomon missed time because they were kind of like, I think they were buddies, and they were, maybe we can not practice, which, of course, Pruitt let that happen. But no, I'm with you. Not a snap. The guy's been a starter for, it was Pruitt's first year, right? He's been a 3-year starter, correct? When healthy, he started every game.
Yeah, when he's been healthy, he's started.
And
been
not even on
in the main
not
rotation.
On the depth chart, not in the rotation, not in mop-up duty. It's wild.
Not a snap.
It's wild. Hickman, see if you can find like look up the 2019 Tennessee depth chart for the opening game against Georgia State. I want to just see something. I'll go ahead and let everybody in on my little secret. He's listed right now at 6'5". Keep in mind, did he not play D-end?
Tackle.
It was tackle?
Well, it was in 3-4. So he's playing the big end spot in the 3-4, I think.
Okay.
So he should be the smaller tackle in the 4-3.
Got the depth chart.
Okay. Does it have Aubrey Solomon's name listed? This is I'm searching my theory live on air. I could look like a big old idiot.
That's all right.
for Georgia State?
So for defensive line, it's got Matthew Butler or Aubrey Solomon.
Okay. Give me Aubrey Solomon's height, please. This is 2019, correct? Is it listed right there?
No. It does not have his height, but I did.
Don't go to UT Sports and look it up because that's going to be current. I want to see.
I have his 24/7 pulled up on another tab already.
Okay, but that's high.
It's true. It's high.
Well, okay, give it to me. Give it to me.
6'5", 325.
Theory busted.
What's it say?
No. But that's at Tennessee, right? You got to click college, NCAA, and then click down to high school.
Or over on the right, it says recruiting profile.
I'll do it.
He's got it.
Okay.
High school, it had him at 6'3", 288.
325. No, he's 6'5". He can handle that much weight if it's good weight.
But he got to play at that weight for.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I think
all
he might
last
be.
Year too,
I'm,
right?
I don't know. No, because I don't know when this would be the current staff's weight update. I don't know what he was listing. That's why I went to 2019, and the depth chart didn't list height and weight, which is weird. I thought it did.
Yeah.
And this is his. I guess that is the information that was released when he was like transferring to Tennessee.
Okay. And what does it say his weight is?
I had him at 325. So
he came from Michigan at 325?
Yeah. So from like what, 2017 to 2018, he put on, wow. Yeah, he gained a lot of weight.
So his
almost 50 pounds.
But that's his first year at Michigan. He gained that much. Was he there 1 or 2 years?
He was there 1 year. He's class of 2017. Or he's class of 18.
I'll get this for you. I got it.
You got it?
I think so.
Okay, here we go. I've got the 2019 roster. So this is last year's roster on utsports.com. So this is what the Jeremy Pruitt staff put in the computer as his height and weight to start last season. You ready for this?
Yeah.
6'5", 299. Do we think this staff saw Aubrey Solomon and said, hey, man, we want you to gain 25 pounds? Knowing how much they were going to be on the field,
absolutely not.
So that's just my guess. Aubrey Solomon showed up. Charlie Garner says, nope, not going to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, they got Georgia has the best D tackle in the country, and his body fat's apparently like not dangerously low, but it's like low for a guy his size. And Kirby wants him to weigh less, and the doctors are like, no, he's completely healthy. He's fine. I would say Rodney Garner knows a thing or two about defensive linemen, and he's saying, buddy, if you can't get into shape, you're not going to play, period. So maybe he's got him on the treadmill. I don't know.
It's a possibility.
The question is, does Aubrey Solomon want to get in shape? Does he want to play? Or is it – this was the thing you heard a lot about, you know, some of the Pruitt teams. The guys were just – they developed lazy. That laziness, yeah.
Super lazy. Well, especially the D-line. It's one of the reasons he...
No, absolutely. That's one of the reasons they weren't any good, too. Like, was it... Because that was Brumball, right? Yeah, players coach, didn't care. They kind of ran over him a little bit. Then Pruitt takes over. They didn't get any better, obviously. But that stuff kind of seeps in. 98.
All right. Georgia State. 6'5", 299. Georgia State. That's in the game notes, roster from the day of the game.
I just gave you that.
Okay.
Thank you for looking that up for the last 5 minutes after I'd already said it. But no, yeah, but that was game one. This is the preseason depth chart with the height and weight. So yeah, 6'5", 299.
Well, this is a different sheet of paper. So I was just
I don't know if they changed that throughout the season though.
Good point. We'll come back. Final segment, hour two, next. Final segment, hour number two, as we get you set for the weekend here on Three and Out. That's
Yeah.
I put out the APB for Aubrey Solomon, and Volbreaker tweeted in and said, what about D. Beckwith, too? Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. You want to see the guys you haven't seen. We've seen Aubrey Solomon. That's why that one's so weird. D. Beckwith, I mean, two staffs have now said he's not a top three running back on your team. It's kind of the same thing with Harrison Bailey. Like, I feel like some people get it in their heads that, and I don't know why this is the case. And sometimes there are exceptions. But suddenly, if, let's say, against Florida, we roll out Harrison Bailey at quarterback, D. Beckwith at running back, that's not going to all of a sudden make you some world-beating team. It might make you way, 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 way worse.
Yeah,
I mean, at least probably. Let's keep in mind, the coaches are paid handsomely to make sure the best 11 at any given time are on the field. So I don't think this is something personal against D. Beckwith. Like, if he was setting the world on fire at running back, they're not going to say, yeah, but he's too tall. I don't like tall people. Or Bailey, yeah, he's our best quarterback, but he can only throw it 65 yards, and Milton can throw it 80. And even though he's more accurate and we move the ball better with Bailey, we want Milton because he can throw it. They're not going to do that. This is their livelihoods we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the allure of, you know, it's the common phrase of the backup quarterback is the most popular person on every campus when the starter isn't very good. And now that we've seen two, it's moved to Harrison Bailey. So if we – and you've already heard it this week – if Bailey goes out there and isn't good, you know what the next thing is? Oh, well, should have kept Maurer. He's worse than them. The only one I'll give you that with is Salter, because we never saw him, and apparently he had looked pretty good, but he made a big mistake, and he's not coming back.
You can't trust Salter to have done anything right from a decision-making standpoint. I mean,
right.
He might have been the
– right.
He might have had some talent running around throwing the football, but – I mean, sorry, like, you can't stay out of trouble off the field. Like, you can't really trust the guy to lead your team on the field.
Yeah, I mean, what would you rather have happened? Him get kicked off before fall camp starts, or
get all the first team reps?
Yeah, or let's say he's looked amazing all summer. We're 3-0 after tomorrow, and we go to Florida. Boom, pop for weed, suspended, kicked off the team. Oh, man, aren't you more mad at that then? I sure would be. Heupel, I think, did the smart decision. Sets the tone for your team, and in a way, like, kind of the devil you don't know.
And trust me, if Caden Salter was, you know,
if he was
the next Heisman winning quarterback in college football, they'd have done more to make sure he didn't get in trouble on the front end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, he wasn't their guy. He got in trouble. He's gone.
Davey, what do you want to see tomorrow? Are you even watching the game?
They do need to develop some depth tomorrow, though. Like,
that's a big one for me.
Apparently, they didn't play very many guys. They didn't play nearly as many guys on defense in the Pittsburgh game as they would like just normally, even with the guys they have.
Yeah, they don't have the quality.
I'll probably tune in for the first half and then wait till they release like the YouTube clip.
Okay.
Just do the cut up.
Why the first half, not the whole game?
Should be over.
Okay. So what if
there's other games on I'd rather watch.
Can't just like flip back and forth from time to time?
I mean, I could do that, but it's like, I guess if you're asking, like, oh, am I really going to, like, study what they decided to do with the second and third teamers? And
so you don't just want to learn anything about the team? You're not going to watch it the second half? Until it's on YouTube? Will you watch it by Monday or no?
TBD.
Well, see, here's the problem, Houston. His Oklahoma Sooners also play at noon on Fox, and so, you know, Davey.
Who they got?
Nebraska.
At?
Oklahoma.
Look out. Look out for the... Could be a frost warning. Could be a...
I mean, Coastal Carolina's got a big game against Buffalo on the road.
Okay.
Michigan State, Miami.
Is that a big game? Aren't they going to kill Buffalo?
They're only a two-touchdown favorite.
Only? All right.
He's so good.
That's okay. I mean, the new coach for Buffalo, he better stomp that guy. Otherwise, you're in big trouble. Okay, well, what do you want to see in the first half, Dave, since you're not going to watch the second half? So you can take out depth.
Can we complete a pass that's thrown over 30 yards in the air?
It'll be fun. Should have guys running wide open.
Let's hope so.
We got Rod on the horn. Let's grab him.
He said he has a poem for us.
Oh, good. I like the poems.
Rod, you're on three and out.
Happy Friday, Roderick.
How you doing this morning?
Some good, some bad.
Yeah, it's Friday. We're happy.
Yeah, it is Friday. I'm happy about that.
It's Friday, and you're doing your Tennessee Vols take the Shield Watkins Field tomorrow, boys.
That they do. That they do. What time's the Vol Walk? Like 7 a.m.? Sunrise? Yeah, we got a sunrise service for the Vol Walk? Huh?
I heard they're coming down the river tomorrow.
Oh, are they? Whose idea was that?
That's what I heard. I don't know. Davis? All right, but let me hit you up with this. I gotta get old Rocky over here to the vet because he's got that wonder itch going on. But let me give you the poem of the day.
All right.
Before we get ready, all right?
All right.
Fellas, last week we lost the game, and that was pretty lame. Come on, fellas, heck. This week we play the Redneck over at Tennessee Tech. This game will be a beatdown because that group ain't nothing but clowns. Old Big Joe will connect on some deep balls. Even with Hootie's arm, that would be an easy call. I'm sure this will bring on a lot of haters, but this week ain't nothing but prep. You beat the hell out of them Gators. Let's go, boys!
Glorified practice. Let's hope so. Yeah, and Big Joe, let's hope he gets a snap if he's healthy.
Bazooka Joe.